Souvenirs, written by Dance Across and recorded by Gypsy Kitty. Fandom, our flag means death. Summary, wasn't regulation, Ed will explain. Not regulation. Two clipped words, a hand steering him out of the washroom line, a hallway with Steed nowhere in sight, and then a different line of men, all of whom are waiting their turn, all of whom have one thing in common. There was a time when the realization of what this line meant would have set Ed's veins ablaze. He would have drawn his weapon, or fashioned a weapon out of whatever was nearby, or used his bare hands, because fuck it, and maimed the living shit out of every last one of them. He would have reminded them exactly who they'd chosen to fuck with. He would sooner have littered the floors of this place with severed fingers than let them take his beard. But the line of bearded men moves, and Ed moves with them. Hands clasped like a schoolchild in front of him. Look, no weapons. Feet not striding, but shuffling. His heart beats steadily in his chest, and he knows what he's about to lose, and he's weirdly sort of fine about it. A whisper makes its way down the line, something that tastes secretive, something that puts a whiff of lightning into the air. Ed doesn't have to wait long to learn what it is. It's only a matter of moments before the guy in front of him, reddish-brown beard, only a couple of inches long, turns around and asks, in a voice that's two parts fear and three parts awe, "Guys are saying you're Blackbeard. Any truth to it?" Time was, he would have run this guy through just for not already knowing. Today, as his feet shuffle forward to his heart's steady pace, he just replies, "Graybeard, maybe." The guy looks at Ed like he's trying to figure out whether he's joking. The guy in front of him, blonde beard, scraggly and not recently washed, turns to have a look, squints a bit. "I hear ye," he says. And then, to reddish brown beard guy, he adds, "Similar, right? The act gets all of us in the end, I suppose." All of us. Like Ed somehow belongs in the same category of people as whoever the fuck this asshole thinks he is. No. Scraggly beard guy is right. That's a thing. Ed took the act. So did this guy, apparently. He may have been Blackbeard, but he isn't anymore. He's just another former pirate trying to stay alive a little longer. "Suppose it does," he murmurs, and makes himself breathe. Shuffle. Shuffle. The whispering continues, but he tunes it out, and the line keeps moving forward. And the sooner this is over, the sooner he can see Steed again. They've been allowed to take a bunk together. Steed Bonnet, above him every night as they sleep, it's... Well, to be honest, it's not as good as the idea of Steed Bonnet above him every night as they do other things, but... One step at a time. They'll get there. Maybe. If Steed's open to... Ed takes a deep breath and lets it out again, and tries not to let his mind wander too far in that direction. He may be resigned to whatever's about to happen, but he's still alone among strangers. He can't let his guard down too much. "Next," someone says, and then he's being beckoned forward. There's a short, dark-skinned man holding a razor, a fairer man who looks like he's cleaning things, a few soldiers standing guard, the line of bearded men behind him. And there's a chair. Ed sits in it. "Hello," he says, trying for warmth. "Tilt your head back," replies the guy with the razor. He hasn't got a beard, of course, and his jawline is sharp, and his chin is thin. Ed wonders what his own jawline will look like now. He hasn't seen it in literally decades, and people's faces always change over time. That's the thing that finally sets his heart fluttering. That's when he finds himself saying, "I'll do it myself if you don't mind. Make it easier on both of us." Razor guy shakes his head. "I gotta follow the rules, same as you." Fucking rules. Fucking all of this. Ed is going to lose his beard, and he won't even get to do it himself. He takes a deep breath in, thinks of Steed, and thinks of the firing squad, and thinks of the pen in his hand, lets it out again, and says, "Fuck, whatever. Go for it." Ed tilts his head back, closes his eyes, and waits. It doesn't hurt. The blade is sharp, and Razor Guy is good at his job. There isn't a mirror, so Ed can't watch himself being uncovered. And maybe that sucks, but maybe it's for the best. Maybe it makes sense that Steed will get to see his new face before Ed gets to see it himself. Maybe Ed likes it even. The razor is a little bit soothing, actually. That's what Ed's starting to think as the whispering reaches him again. Or, rather, as the whispering reaches Razor Guy. Someone says a few words in his ear, and Razor Guy goes, "Oh yeah? No shit." And now Ed is sitting there with his throat bared to a guy with a sharp knife who knows that he's Blackbeard. Who knows that he was Blackbeard? "Can I just..." says the other voice. And Razor Guy replies, "Sure, all yours, man." And something unwelcome churns in Ed's gut. Years of finely honed instincts kick in. And it takes every ounce of willpower he has not to leap up and prepare to defend himself. But even so, he can't help wanting to know what they're talking about. He opens his eyes. In front of him is Razor Guy, leaning in so he can get back to work. Just next to Razor Guy is a white soldier with a face reddened by sunburn or alcohol. Probably alcohol. He's straightening up, because he's just picked something up off the floor. Something that looks like... Ed draws in a sharp breath. "Keep still," Razor Guy says. "Haven't hit anyone yet today. Don't want you to be the first." But Ed barely hears him. He's already lurching forward. It's only Razor Guy's firm hand, squarely on his chest, that prevents him from rising out of his seat, wrapping his hands around the soldier's throat, and squeezing until his red fucking face turns purple. "You fucking... keep still," says Razor Guy again, his eyes flicking up to the soldiers that surround them. "Or it's them that'll be telling you to behave, not me." For the first time since he sat down, Ed meets Razor Guy's eyes, really looks at him. He's not wearing a soldier's uniform. He's got some sun damage on his forehead, and tattoos poking out from under his linen sleeves, black ink against brown skin. "I gotta follow the rules same as you." He probably used to be a pirate, too. Probably took the act, same as the guys in line. He's probably as afraid of retribution from the soldiers as Ed ought to be. Ed bites down on the million things he wants to say, and gives a curt nod, lifts his chin again, presenting his throat, and takes a deep breath in. The red-faced soldier tucks his prize into his pocket, grinning to himself, not looking at Ed at all. Deep breath out. Another soldier approaches the red-faced guy, and there's conversation between them that Ed can't quite hear, and soon both of them are grinning. The second soldier, thinning hair, two light eyes, beaky nose, shoots a quick look at Ed, then crouches down near Razor Guy's feet. "Got one," he says to his red-faced friend. "And you're right, bet this'll fetch us some." At those words, Ed hears a quiet little, "Oh," from over to his left, and soon there's another soldier coming over and searching the floor. Like the others, he straightens up, holding a lock of curled salt and pepper hair. Deep breath in. It's his own fault, really. That's what he gets for making this kind of name for himself, right? Idiot soldiers, scrambling for a piece of him to sell off for a few coins. "I was in the room when they did it," Beak Nose will say. Red Face might add, "Greatest pirate who ever lived in my arse. You wouldn't even recognize him now." Deep breath out. He won't get angry. He doesn't have room to. Not anymore. He just has to sit there and let Razor Guy do his work and stop giving his fucking attention to these assholes. And then he'll be free to go and see Steed again. Deep breath in. And it'll be kind of nice, won't it? To walk around the barracks and not be recognized. That's what he wanted. It's the start of something different. Something normal. Sure, they'll have to serve the fucking king for 10 years before they get it. But after that... Maybe he'll ask Razor Guy to give him a lock, too. Maybe he'll give it to Steed. a token of who he was when they first met. Deep breath out. He'll give it to Steed, who will look confused at first, until he looks up and sees Edward's face and understands immediately. Wasn't regulation, Ed will explain. But you've had it for so long, Steed will reply, wide-eyed. Are you all right? About losing it, I mean. Ed will shrug, feigning indifference, but pleased beyond measure to have been asked. It'll be fine. Deep breath in. A pause will settle between them, thick and heavy. It'll be Steed who moves first. He'll reach out a hand, tentative, but it'll stop mere inches from Ed's face. May I? He'll ask quietly, maybe even shyly. Ed won't have the right words to reply. A mere yes would convey less than the smallest fraction of what he'll be feeling, so he'll just nod. And Steed's hand will alight on Ed's newly bare skin, and Ed won't have seen his new face yet, but he'll be able to feel it in the movement of fingers along his jawbone. Deep breath out. Darling, you're lovely, Steed will whisper, and Ed will smile, maybe, or he'll freeze, or he'll do something stupid like roll his eyes and snort, because he's always been sort of shit at taking compliments on the rare occasion they're offered. But deep breath in. But either way, Steed will press his full palm to the line of Ed's jaw, fingers covering his cheek like they were never able to do before, and Ed will feel the heat of Steed's touch for the rest of his life. A souvenir of the first time anyone called him lovely. Steed will ask once again, may I? He won't be leaning in, not quite yet, but his intention will still be plain. Once again, a simple yes won't quite cut it, and so once again, Ed will merely nod. And Steed will move closer. The kiss will be soft and light, a simple touch of lips against lips. It will be a question. Deep breath out. A question that Ed will enthusiastically answer. Hey, stop smiling, man, says Razor Guy. A neutral face. I don't care who you are. I don't want to nick you. Ed opens his eyes. When had he closed them? And wipes the smile off his face. Sorry, mate, he says to Razor Guy, who's almost done. He'll see Steed so soon. Steed will see him so soon. Minutes pass, and finally it's over. The soldiers have all collected their souvenirs. Or maybe some of them haven't. Whatever. It doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't. And they're muttering amongst themselves as Ed finally leaves his chair. Thanks, man, he says to Razor Guy, clapping him on the shoulder. Razor Guy looks a little baffled by that, which Ed guesses is fair. But after a moment, he shrugs and sets about wiping his razor clean. Next, he calls. As Ed moves to leave the room, one of the soldiers steps in front of him. It's Beaknose, the one who said the thing about fetching a sum. He smirks and says, Blackbeard, huh? Why do they call you that? Fucking passive aggression. It's everywhere. Jackie would be thrilled to add that beaky fucking nose to her jar. Ed would be thrilled to deliver it to her personally. But he's here now. He's made his choice. He's lost his beard but kept Steed. And in just 10 years, his life will be his own again. And so he keeps smiling. And he shrugs. And he replies, you know, I've been wondering that my whole life. Guess it'll keep being a mystery. And before they can think of new ways to taunt him, he slips past them and returns to the barracks. The room's nearly empty, but Steed is there, stretched out on the top bunk, staring at the ceiling. He looks sad, and he looks beautiful, and Ed's voice comes out shaky when he says, Steed. Hmm, Steed says mournfully, and doesn't look at him. Hello, Ed, he adds, and doesn't look at him. Hey, mate, Ed says, and Steed doesn't look at him. Deep breath in. These blankets are truly terrible, Steed says, and doesn't look at him. Also, my family thinks I'm dead? Ed nods. Makes sense. He knows plenty of lads who faked their own deaths to start over at sea. Except that the tone of Steed's voice seems to indicate that he thinks this is unusual. A problem, even. And if he wants to talk about why, then Ed will listen. Ed could do nothing but listen to Steed for the rest of their lives. He'd be so happy that way. And anyway, his new face can wait. Steed will see it eventually. Deep breath out. Do they now? Says Ed, as he makes for his own bunk and sits down. They've given him a pile of new clothes to wear. Bland, itchy things, but not as hot as leather. And they need to be folded and put away. He can do that. He can fold clothes and listen to Steed. Like a proper friend, or a proper whatever they're going to be next. He picks up a pair of socks, and he turns his face up toward the top bunk, and he says, "Tell me." The end.